Hallelujah. Do you remember last week we were talking about our birthright, our inheritance, and how important that is to God? And remember, at the end of the message last week, I asked you a question. Do you remember what that was? Is your birthright, your inheritance, as important to you as it is to God? And that means He really, really, really wants us to know what our birthright is and our inheritance is. We talked last week about Luke 15, where it talks about the lost coin, or the lost sheep first, and then the lost coin and the lost son, and how we know the regular understanding of you know, the application, the interpretation of that is God's reaching out and for salvation and to bring the lost in. And that's definitely the interpretation of that scripture. But there are many applications, and one of them the Lord was showing me that I keep getting stuck on is just how each one of those parables talks about not quite having what was entitled. You know, the father's missing his son. And the son's looking for his inheritance. The son is really just leaving home because he wants that inheritance more than anything else. And the first parable talks about the shepherd who has 99 sheep. What's one sheep that's missing important to him? And so he goes diligently. He leaves the 99. He leaves that which he has. And he goes searching for that one that's missing. And the lost coin, the lady has she started out with 10 coins, but she dropped one. And she turned her house apart looking for that extra coin, that 10th coin. And what I was seeing in that is our inheritance is so important for us. Our healings, our wholeness, our prosperity, our love and compassion for the lost, our love and compassion for Jesus, that's our inheritance. He is our inheritance, and God wants us to so diligently seek after that which we don't yet have. Tear our houses apart, in a sense, because we're longing for more of Him. We're longing with intent and diligence to have all that He wants us to have. And not just getting lackadaisical, sleepy, bored, whatever. But we stir it up. We stir up that hunger. Our hunger is our birthright. And it just pleases the Lord so much when we're hungry. And last week we looked at Romans 9, verse 13, where, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Remember that we were looking at the two sons in Genesis, Genesis 25, verses 20 to 26, talks about Esau, the first son, and Jacob, the second son of Isaac, the father. And in that culture, the first son was supposed to get everything. He was supposed to get the double blessing. He was supposed to get the favor. He was supposed to get all that good stuff. And the second son, the third son, the fourth son, whatever, if there were more, were just supposed to get, you know, some whatever. But something about Jacob, he had something within him that said, I've got to have more. I've got to have what God intended for me to have. And he even he deceived his older brother into giving up what was rightly the older brother's. And he came for the dad's blessing when the dad was ready to die. And he said, bring me my two sons and have them prepare some food for me. I want to bless the one abundantly, and then I want to bless the other. And Jacob deceived his older brother by putting on the favor or the animal skins so that he would feel to his blind father just like the older brother normally felt, because the older brother was a man of the woods. He was a mountain man. He was a guy who just loved to be outside, and Jacob was not that same way. He was different. He was completely different. And the dad knew the difference, obviously. All dads know differences between their kids because everybody's different. But Jacob even deceived. He went to the point of deception to get that birthright. And so he put on animal skins and he came in smelling like, what was it, goat or deer or something like that, just so that the father who was blinded could bless him. And the father did, because the father couldn't really tell the difference. He couldn't see it. And God, through Isaac, then blessed Jacob abundantly with that first blessing, the first son's blessing. And we can look at that as a picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. He paid that price to get that blessing. But as we clothe ourselves with the blood of Jesus, with his favor, with his precious gift that he's freely given for us, when God looks at me, he sees Jesus. When he looks at you, he sees Jesus. He sees his favored son. And so we are entitled to that inheritance only because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome. We weren't deserving, yet he wanted to connect us with the family. He wanted to bring us into the family of God so much that he paid the price to make us holy and to make us righteous. And we don't come on any of our own merit, only on the blood of Jesus, only on his righteousness. And so we see where Jacob has this thing within him. He deceived his brother, and he got that birthright. He got that favor, that blessing from the dad. And it followed him all the days of his life. And there was something within him that wanted that and kept... It was probably the very air that he breathed to have more, to prosper, to be, to live under that favor. And so, because he valued that birthright so much, I was seeing in Genesis 35, verses 1 through 15, it's when God opens heaven to give Jacob his reward. God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel." Now, Bethel is a place of rest, and it's a place where we meet God, where we, like when we're in worship, we make that connection, and we're looking into his face, so to speak. We're connecting. We know we're there. But God calls us. God is the one that calls us. Can we go back to the verse before that? God said to Jacob, so go up to Bethel, God's calling, and dwell there. That's where God wants us to live, in that place. And make there an altar unto God. You know what that means is it's a place where we count it as special. It's our secret place. We value it. And we come there often. We try to make that connection every moment of every day. It's not like it used to be once a day. But I'm finding, you know, just every moment, every moment, every moment of every day, as long as I just stop, there's God. There's that connection. And I think that's what the Lord's wanting from us, that inheritance that we have in him. So make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. Okay, next verse. Then Jacob, this is what you do. Isn't this what we do when we're meeting before God? Put away all that's with him. Put away the strange gods. We cleanse ourselves. We come before God and we surrender everything that's holding us back. Our failures, our woundedness, our successes. You know, sometimes our successes will keep us from meeting with God because we're so full of ourselves that we need to empty ourselves. We really do. And we could be so filled up with self-righteousness. And we just have to let go of that. You know, something that the Lord was reminding me as well when we're putting away the strange gods, it's like, I want to hear God's voice now. What I heard this morning isn't enough. What am I hearing now? What is God saying to me now? Did you ever stop and think about Abraham when he heard God say, I want you to sacrifice your son? That was the proceeding word of God, wasn't it? It was. But aren't you glad that when they got up to that mountain, I bet you Isaac was pretty glad that that proceeding word became the preceding word. And he heard again saying, no, don't slay your son. Don't you think Isaac was pretty happy that Abraham heard the now word rather than the that word? Yeah, okay. That's why it's so important for us to stay close to the Lord and have our ear close to His heartbeat, close to His mouth, so that we can hear. It's not good enough to at least for me, it's not. I mean, and it's not a performance thing. It's like, I want to hear from God right now. What I had before is not good enough. I got to hear the now word from God. So taking everything to the Lord in prayer. Verse 3. So we lay down, and it's a place of surrender. Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. And that clean is He washes us clean. And change your garments. Put on Christ. There are so many verses in the New Testament. Lay aside that which so easily besets you and put on Christ. Put on His favor. Put on His inheritance. Okay, next verse. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. Next verse. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. How many of you like living in the place where your enemies don't pursue you, where poverty doesn't take hold of you, where all that stuff that you don't like, God causes to be filled with terror? See, when we're filled with God, when we're in that place of connection and enjoying our inheritance with God, He makes even our enemies to be at peace with us. And we don't have to fight those battles. We don't have to war. I mean, we stand in that place of who we are, knowing that we're His righteousness now, and that we are clothed with that armor, and we're clothed with the new garments, as Jacob told his family to be. But we don't have to go out running here, there, and everywhere and doing that crazy stuff to try to make things work. We wait on God, and then He gives us the word. He gives us those great ideas, those creative things to do or try. It's like this VBS thing, Vacation Bible School. We heard a little word, and we pursued it with prayer. And we waited, pursued it with prayer some more, because we felt God putting some light on it. And now it's just beginning to take off, so we're pretty excited about that. But we do need others to come with us. But we know this is the right year, so I'm really excited. What is God up to? He's got something up His sleeve, and He's got a really long arm. So something, He's going to do something good. I don't know what, but He's always good. So, okay, now jump down to verse 11. And whoever's up there, is that Lisa? Whatever. Thank you so much. Oh, it's Dave. Thank you. Appreciate you. Verse 11. This is really cool. I want to camp on this. And God said unto him, I'm God Almighty. And He's saying this to you too, so put yourself there. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Is that pretty cool or what? What's the next verse after that? Yeah, and the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. That's your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. What I'm seeing out of that is inheritance is increase. Everybody say increase, unless you don't need it. Say increase. Shout increase. He confirmed his inheritance to Jacob with increase. Then he spoke royalty. He said, you would be a nation of kings. Any royalty in this room? All of us, every single person, he has made royal. You're kings, kids. And also longevity. Now, often we just think about the today, the here and the now, the me. God wants us to think generations. I want my great, great, great grandchildren's grandchildren's grandchildren to follow after the Lord. And they will, because I am purposing in my heart and my husband's purposing in his heart to press into that inheritance with everything we've got. And it's going to happen. It is going to happen. There's going to be increase. And there's going to be royalty, because there already is royalty. We are royal people. And I believe Jacob knew all this stuff. I mean, when you hear this spoken in your ear by God, you know it. And so he pressed in. He continually pressed in, and God brought this inheritance to him. And I just want to go over some of the things that just remind us of what our inheritance is. Jacob, like the prodigal son, came to that understanding that only Abba Father can give us what we need. Man can't, the world can't, Social Security can't, retirement plans can't, pensions can't. God can. Only Abba Father. When the world says worry, when the world says be concerned, our trust is not even in America. It's in God. And that's what we have to remember, that no matter what things look like, God's still in control and he's still good. And his inheritance is found in him. In Luke 12, verse 32, it's in your bulletins at the top. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is not something we have to beg God for. It's his pleasure. It's his delight to give us our inheritance. And all we have to do is just press into it. Just value it. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy him, because he's our inheritance. And Jacob knew that. And the other thing I see that Jacob knew was that the legacy would be passed on from generation to generation. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9 says, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations. That's more than just my grandchildren's grandchildren. That's 1,000 generations. God keeps covenant and God values longevity. We should value it, too. It's a good thing to value what God values. And I believe in that. When we get that concept, the more I get that concept, the more I am stirred to take my place in prayer. Do you know that history belongs to those who pray? History belongs to those who pray, because he hears my prayers and he answers me, and he moves at the sound of my voice. That's in Song of Solomon. So what keeps us from praying? Is it boredom? Is it we don't understand what our legacy is, what our inheritance is, what power our prayers and our words carry? Especially when we go to His heart and we say, Abba, Father, what's on your heart? What do you want me to pray and partner with you for today? Because that's what we're doing. Jesus is interceding on our behalf, and we're partnering with the King of Kings. What if the richest person in the world called you up and said, hey, I want to partner with you? I'll carry the heavy weight, and you just hang out with me. Do what I tell you to do. Isn't that cool? I mean, we're talking about somebody greater than the richest person, greater than the most powerful person. We're talking about the one who created the universe, and He wants to partner with us in prayer. Wow, that's pretty awesome. And we can change our future. We can change what's going on in the world if we just take the time to pray. If we pray what's on His heart, that's really a key right there. But what's holding me back? I was looking at, you know, the scriptures that say we're a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? He lives inside of me because I've asked Him to just take over and live my life, live His life through me, and I'll live my life through Him, and it's great. It really works out well, much better than before. But if I'm a temple of the Holy Ghost, do you remember when Jesus came into the temple? And He said, my house should be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So I was thinking about that. How can our temples become a den of thieves if we bring that down to us? I know that's not the interpretation, but that is an application because we are the temples of the Holy Ghost. So when do I make His temple, His house, a den of thieves? When I allow wrong concepts to rule me. When I think that I don't have power in prayer. When I believe dumb things. When I don't believe what the Word says. Then I've given my belief system over to lies. And to Him who would steal and kill and destroy. And so I've made my house a den of thieves. Just because I'm not believing what the Word says, but I'm kind of believing either what I've heard whispered in my ear or my own thoughts of, well, it doesn't matter anyway. Who cares? Somebody else. Kathy Moore will pray. You know, my husband and I, we're talking this weekend. When we grow up, we want to be like Kathy. She's so precious. We just love you, Kathy. She's been such a faithful friend and a faithful prayer for this house right from the start. And I just value that. I value God within her. And her house is a house of prayer. And when I don't pray for whatever reason, what am I afraid of? Do I have a wrong concept of God? Do I think that He's going to beat me if I don't pray the right prayers? Or I just don't want to hang out with Him because I'm afraid of Him? Or what is it? What would keep me back from praying? Do I let things that are outside my world just keep me so busy that I don't have time? What would keep me from hanging out with the King of Kings and being a history maker? What keeps me? And what causes me to be a den of thieves? I'll just leave that with you because it's been on my heart for me. And I'm asking the Lord, is there any reason why I don't want to pray? Why I don't want to change history with the Lord? But that's something I believe Jacob really understood because he had a concept of longevity. He knew his prayers, what he did with his life and what he did with the words that God put in his mouth would carry on for generations and generations and generations. And another thing that I see is, this is also in Luke 15. Do you realize how much joy we bring to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit when we value our inheritance? Look at Luke 15, verses 5 to 7. This is right after the story about the shepherd losing the one sheep. Okay, and when he had found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Is that the end of that? No, two more verses. And when he comes home, okay, well, can you go back one more? When he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. Next verse. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents. Now that interpretation obviously is for the lost, but what about this one sinner? When I repent for my boredom with God or my not spending time with Him, whatever it is, when I repent of that, I bring joy to heaven. I can make the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, be even more joyful. I don't know how they can be more joyful than they already are. But I bring joy to Him because I need repentance. And I need to be washed clean all the time. Okay, look at Luke 15, verse 10. This is about the woman that was looking for the coin. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Anybody in here know that they're a saint, but you're a sinner, and there's times that we still need to repent. We bring joy. And how about Luke 15, verse 22? But the Father says to His servants, when we come back to our inheritance, which is Him, bring forth the best robe and put it on Him and put a ring on His hand and shoes on His feet. We have a celebrating God, and He loves to celebrate over us. You're not convinced yet. Go to Psalm 67, verses 5 through 6. If it's not enough to value our inheritance because we bring joy and delight to the Father. Now, on these next two points that are really, really important, and if they don't stir up your heart, I don't know what's going to get you guys excited. But this is not our reason for coming close to the Lord and valuing Him and pressing into our inheritance, but this is a byproduct. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Yes! Then, everybody say then, shall the earth yield her increase. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. Do you see the power of that connection? When you're honoring the Lord, when you're blessing Him because He is so worthy. And even if He didn't do anything else, He is worthy, and that connection is so valuable. But look at this. He yields the increase. And unless you don't need increase in this day and age that we live, you probably won't get excited over that. But there is something first that has to happen. We connect first, then the increase. And I believe Jacob knew that. Okay, and the last thing, go to the next verse. This is what else happens. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. You know, there is a part we have to play in seeking the lost and letting them know of God's goodness and His salvation for them. That is, we have a great big part to play. But if we're running about and we're doing that because it's out of guilt and because we're thinking unless we're winning, we're sinning. You know, you've heard that before. We're doing that in our own strength, and that's all our own self-righteousness. It's as filthy rags before the Lord. But if we're intent on blessing Him and just loving Him, and our first fruits are just connecting with Him and going to the Lord and just honoring and valuing that inheritance, look at the byproduct. He will cause the ends of the earth to fear Him. God has a marketing plan to save the lost that is so out of this world. Who would have ever thought that? I mean, God is amazing. And we've missed it. We thought, oh, if we go running out there and doing this and doing that and doing everything else, we'll do it. Filthy rags, you know? It's all about Him. And He's our inheritance. And He'll tell us when to move. He'll tell us when to speak to somebody. He'll tell us what to say even. He is so good. But the whole first thing is love the Lord your God. And you know, then when we go to Him and we get filled up with His love, then we have the compassion for the lost. And we have His hearing ear to tell us, move. Now's the time. Then we have His boldness. We're strengthened with might in the inner man. I think it's Ephesians 1:17 or something like that. Strengthened with might. You know what might means? Confidence. So that when God says, walk across the room, there's somebody over there that I'd like you to get to know because he's one of my favorites, but he doesn't know it yet. We'll have that confidence to just go across the room. Get out of ourselves and love on that person. But it's all about exchanging our yuck, who we are, for Him. And he's got such a better way. And He wants us to be diligent. He wants us to seek that birthright, our inheritance. He wants us to stir up that hunger because that just so delights His heart. So that's what we need to do like Jacob. Just really press into that birthright. Press in to all that God has for us because He wants to give increase. He wants to save the ends of the earth. He wants them to honor Him and bless Him. But it first begins with us just pressing into God and just enjoying Him. And gosh, He is so enjoyable, isn't He? Wow. He's good.